I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. All right, Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27 reads this way. It says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your church. Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would bless me, Lord, and bless your people, and allow us to hear from you this morning, and that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives drawn closer to you and strengthened in the faith and grace that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, help them to see that need and to trust you before it's eternally too late. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is found there in verse 27, and that is simply, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's another truth there in verse 28 at the very bottom, and that is that we may be presented, and that says, every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect in Christ Jesus. So here's the question. What does that mean, Christ in you, the hope of glory? I believe God wrote that in the Word of God for you and I to understand, don't you? Christ in you, that's in us, the believer, the hope of glory. And then he says, perfect in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be perfect in Christ Jesus? Now, I'm going to encourage you and challenge you this morning to set aside what we think. That's going to be a challenge, right? Set aside what we think and try to hear what God is saying, because what we think is, this is what I need to do for God. I need to be found faithful. I need to do things for God. But the truth is, God is wanting to do things through your life and mine that will change and revolutionize our lives. So this morning, as we consider our text, there's an important life-changing revelation from the Word of God that we're going to look at this morning, and it's God's desire, really, it's his desire to reveal his work in and his will in our lives. That's God's will, and that's God's desire. And why? So that we might have the joy of the Lord. So when he says, rejoice in the Lord most of the time, is that what he says? Or does he say, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. Now, how can we do that? Well, here's the truth. We can't, but God can. And if we'll focus on that, we'll experience the joy of the Lord. And not only that, but that will bring power. The joy of the Lord is not our joy. The joy of the Lord is his joy that he gives to us. And that comes with power, which brings the ability by the grace of God to be the light and the witness that the world really needs. The world, listen, does the world need us to tell them, well, you better get saved or you're going to die and burn and go to hell? Do you think that's going to do something for the world? But if they understand, the grace of God, they'll see the mercy of God, and they'll see where they're at by the love of God in your life and mine, and they'll see the need for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the difference is made. Now, the truth needs to be preached, and it needs to be shared in the Spirit of Christ, which is love, right? He's not willing that, for God so loved the world. And that's an indescribable word there. The love of God is indescribable because he says it's so great that you can't even really begin to define it. It's so great. And so he gave us his son. He displayed his love by giving us his son to the believer first, and then to the non-believer that we might enjoy it. So we want to look at a couple of things here this morning. And that'll be, first of all, this reconciliation that we call salvation. Then he says to continue in the faith, and we'll look at that. And then we'll talk about the afflictions of Christ, and that's where we lose the Lord, the afflictions of Christ. And then we'll look at given to me for you. This is what Paul is saying, to fulfill the word of God. So God is wanting to fulfill something just in Paul's life and nobody else, right?
just Paul, and we as believers, we miss it all. Is that God's will? Not at all. So, and why do I say that? Because I think we need to be careful how we approach the word, because not even unwittingly we approach the word of God saying, well, that was because it was Paul. Have you ever thought that or said that? Well, sure, my God. Oh, Paul. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't that put you and I in the same camp as the Corinthian church when they said, oh, we're of Paul? And others said, oh, we're of Apollos. He was such an eloquent speaker. And some said, oh, but we're of Peter. And some of the really high, really spiritual ones said, oh, we're only of Jesus Christ. We don't hear of any. And what did Paul say? Oh, no. Listen, what are we? Listen, we are only ministers of the Word of God. And we're all to enjoy the things God is wanting to bring all of us into this relationship that will awe us and change us. Not that we change ourselves, but the work that God wants to do is He wants to change us to enjoy the salvation that He's given to us. So it's not just having the assurance of eternal life. That's important. By the way, that's where it all begins. But that's just the starting place. And then He wants us to go from there. Well, how good would you be? How effective would you be in society if you started school in kindergarten and that's as far as you went? You wouldn't do as well as you're doing today. You would do better the further that you go. In your education, the further you go, the more knowledge you have, the more abilities you may have. But listen, likewise, in our relationship with the Lord, we don't just want to start in salvation and stop there. How many believers, oh, but I'm saved by the grace of God. And that's, praise God for that. But that's not where He wants us to stop with Him. That is just the starting point. Amen? You believe that? Do you believe the Word of God is true? Are you sure? All right, it's important. Do you believe the Word of God is true, not just to the preacher? Amen, preacher. That's good for you. No, it's good for us. It's good for us. So is the Word of God applicable to all of us, all the children of God? Okay, so let's look at this part of reconciliation. And let me ask you to do this as well. Let me ask you just to rethink some things as you see it in the Word of God. Not because I'm saying it, but because the Lord is wanting us to see some things that will redirect and enhance our relationship with Him. Listen, are you happy with what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Beginning with salvation. You can say amen. I'm thankful. But let me ask you this. Is it something that you're excited about? Is it something that you look to the Word of God to see more about it? And is it something that the world wants? I hope it is. And if it's not, God wants to make it that way. It's not something that we do. So again, let's start off with salvation. This reconciliation here in verse 20. Notice what it says. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Notice, by Him. Do you see this work? It's the Lord's cross. It's by Him. To reconcile. Now that's an important word, because reconciliation in the Greek signifies to change thoroughly from something that you once were to now something brand new. So listen, here's the sad part. Some people only know the assurance of eternal life. That's a great prize, but that's not the change. That is a change, and that is the first change, which is the change of our destiny, the change of our direction, the change of our relationship with God Almighty that's been opened up for you and I to enjoy, but not to stop right there. And some people just stop right there. Well, I have eternal life, and they do, but they don't experience everything else that God wants to do for them. So notice again, it says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. And if you're saved, you've got that peace. You know it. And concerning your relationship with the Lord. And notice, and by Him to reconcile 25% of the things unto Himself. Or is it to say, to reconcile how much? All things unto Himself by your power and mine. Or does it say, by Him? Does your Bible say, by Him? If it doesn't say, by Him, please throw it out and get you the right Bible. Because it ought to say, by Him. Because you and I need to know the truth. And the truth is that everything that God has given to us is by Him. I say whether they be things in the earth, notice, or things in heaven. Whether you're here on earth or whether you're in heaven, it will be by him. Does that make sense? Okay. Are we talking about just the Apostle Paul and Peter and some of the others? Or does this include you and I? In case you wondered, look at verse 21. And who? And you. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now, yet now hath he reconciled. So there you see the word reconciliation there again. And again, remember that in the Greek this signifies to change thoroughly from one thing to something else. And that's where people stop. They've been changed as far as their destiny is concerned, but their present life is not being empowered by the grace of God. So verse 22, notice, in the body of his flesh through death, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, is it still God's work? It will always be God's work. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Did you see that? He's going to present you and I unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. And that's really what matters. That's what really matters, is how we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the world is not going to like us, but they are going to need us if they're going to have any hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the world is not going to get saved or influenced for the glory of God by our power. The world will be influenced to eternal life by the grace of God, just as you and I were. And didn't it reach out to you in a loving way? I mean, listen, the Lord brought the truth home to me, and I saw that I was lost and undone. Oh, listen, I was fearful, but my heart ran to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't afraid to run to him. I knew he was my hope and my only help. And so here we have this understanding of this reconciliation that was given to you and I, that has more than just one operation, and that is more than just giving us eternal life. So it comes down to this. Do you believe that the salvation that God has given to us is more than just eternal life? Because if that's all we believe, guess what? So be it unto you and me according to the faith that we have concerning the word of God. And if that's all we believe, then we don't expect any more. And if we don't expect any more, guess what we're going to get? No more. We're not going to get any more. All right. So let's look at verse 23. And let's look at this statement here, continue in the faith. What does that mean? And we're going to look at that. For it, notice, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. If you continue in the faith, and that is a continual walk and a continual progression. As you continue in the faith, if you're continuing on, you haven't stopped, have you? You're continuing on, you're moving forward. And listen, this is the detriment today that God is wanting to wake up his church this morning, specifically Northwood Baptist Church, to understand a truth that this relationship that God started with you and I is a continuing relationship that moves forward. You and I, in our own thinking, won't understand that. We don't understand that naturally. God has to give that understanding to you and I to understand, we're going to move forward. We're going to walk forward. Remember the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration? And the disciples, I think it was Peter, said, oh, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make a tent. We're going to camp out right here. Oh, no. Peter, this is not the stopping point. We're moving forward from here. There's truths to be had, but we're going to move forward from here. So he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, notice, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And so we need to understand the complete gospel, which again, salvation is the beginning of it, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So he's talking about this continuing faith in the life of the believer, and that's going to really be the thrust of the focus here. And here's where it begins. This continuing faith has with it the afflictions, which is our next thought, of Christ. The afflictions of Christ. Now, Are you experiencing and are you willing, because God's great plan, do you trust God with the afflictions of Christ? Now, you getting a flat tire and getting stuck on the side of the road is not the afflictions of Christ. It is a trial, and it can be used as the afflictions of Christ, but that in and of itself is not the afflictions of Christ unless you understand it to be from the Lord. And unless you realize that your peace is not in your circumstance or in your situation being stuck on the side of the road, your joy and your peace do not come from, and the world doesn't see it either, from being stuck on the side of the road, but your joy and your peace come from where? The Lord. The Lord. So if you allow God to do this work of the afflictions of Christ, we will see God at a greater degree. So notice what happens here. So verse 23, he says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind, and notice, of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So he's saying what you've seen, the afflictions, the physical afflictions of what you've heard and what you've seen are for the glory of God and for the edifying of the church. Where's the church? Is the church the four walls here and the roof, or is the church sitting in the pew in the chairs this morning? So it's for us. So he says this, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Did you see that? Listen, what Paul is saying that you've seen in me was given to him for us. Does that mean the afflictions of Christ as well? Yes. And you're going to understand that, I think, a lot better here in just a moment. So these afflictions, how's that sound so far for you? Shall we just stop there? The afflictions of Christ are for us. Praise God. No, we wouldn't really be praising the Lord unless we understand the purpose of those afflictions. So let's look at this right here. So he's made a minister in verse 25, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from the generations, but now is made manifest to who? His saints. Let me just qualify that. You know what a saint is, right? What's a saint? A saved child of God. It's not a little statue you pray to. It's not somebody that has been set aside by a bunch of people. If you've trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, you're a saint because God has separated you for Himself by His blood. You can't get any more holier than that. In fact, I dare say that if we're looking to the attributes or if we're looking to the accomplishments of certain individuals and call them a saint, it's all wrong. And it's not only just a disgrace, but it's not receptive in the eyes of God. It's not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. All right, so watch this. Verse 27. When we consider this, he's manifested this to his saints. Verse 27. Notice what God wants to make known here. To whom God would make known, listen, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm telling you, listen, this morning, we don't have enough of Christ in the believer, the hope of glory today. If we had what God wanted of Christ in the believer, the hope of glory, the world would see. And the world would be turned upside down for the glory of God. So are you willing to say, God, I want to be where you want me to be, and my relationship with you, I don't want to be where I think I should be. I want to see what you want in my life. Because if we're not willing to go there and trust the Lord, is God looking to pull the rug out from under you? Is God looking to, I spoke with somebody here this last week, And they love the Lord, and they said, but boy, I know not to pray for patience, because I know how patience come. Well, who's going to bring those things into your life, and are they not going to be for our good? You see how it works out? We get fearful of what God's trying. And I probably said it myself. Don't pray for patience. Why? God says if you lack these things, ask him. And he'll give them to you. And I know that's what you're thinking you might be afraid of. But it's only because you're thinking how we think and not how God thinks. Because God is not wanting to bring horrible things into our life. God is, every good gift comes from where? The Father of lights. Do you see the difference? And we think that we ask God for something. Oh my goodness, he's going to hit me with a lightning bolt. Well, that's what the world that doesn't know God thinks. And what part of our thinking are we using? The natural realm, the old man. There is an old man and there is a new man in the life of the believer. And the old man, believe it or not, if there's going to be any of the life of God, the old man has to be planted in the ground and dead. And so Jesus said, if you're going to follow after me, you're going to have to what? Deny the old man. Deny yourself. Now, I've got great news for us. That denying does not come by our effort. And I'm going to show you that. All this is groundwork. This is important for a simple truth this morning. And notice how God wants to make known Christ in us, the hope of glory. Did we just see that there in verse 27? That's our text verse. Did we see that in there? Let's read it again just to make sure. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches. God wants to reveal this of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, that's us the believer, the hope of glory. He continues on and he reveals here the perfection that he's wanting to perform. Verse 28, whom we preach. Remember, this gospel was given to Paul to give to who? Us. To give unto you. To give unto us. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man all in all wisdom, that we may present most of the believers, right? Or does it say every man? That's every believer. How? Perfect in Christ Jesus. Don't define perfection for yourself. Let God do it. Let God define the perfection. Verse 29. Listen, whereunto I also labor, striving, listen to this very carefully, according to my strength, my working, his working, which worketh in me mightily. So let me ask you this question this morning. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Is it not Christ's working in us mightily? So how are we going to come to that? Because I dare say, because of what we can see, we don't see a lot of Christ working in the believer mightily. We hear a lot of good professions. People can tell you that they've been saved by the grace and through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of professions, yes, the grace of God, but what about the working of God mightily in the life of the believer? Do you see a lot of that? And really, the only person we need to look at for that is ourselves. Do we see a lot of the working of God mightily in the life of the believer? And here's the question, do you want to see that? Is it God's promise for us? If we're not careful, we can just hear this morning and grade the message and miss it completely. Well, here's how I'll grade that message. You cannot do that and expect to hear from the Lord. Because it's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. God is wanting to communicate to you and I this morning and reaffirm he's already given it to me. And it is a wonder because it's the work of God that he wants to do with you and I. And we can say, who am I, Lord, that you're wanting to do this? So let's look in here. Look at verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me how? Mightily. And that's what he wants. Paul was not just saying that to say, look at me. Aren't you impressed? No, he was saying that because he's saying this is what God has given to every believer. Now, with that said, let me invite you over to the book of Romans. Just back up a little bit. And I'm just going to read through this very quickly. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And this is important. Do you believe the word of God for you, not for the preacher, Sunday school teacher, or somebody else, but for you? Are you willing to receive this for you? Because there's only one person that you and I have the opportunity to draw near to the Lord with, and that's ourselves. We can hope for others to draw near, but the only one that can be affected by this message this morning is for you and myself. It's only for me, and this message is only for the believer, right? If you're one, then that's for, and if you're a non-believer, this is where it all begins. So Romans 8:28, and we know, we might have to learn this now, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There's a lot there. We can't unpack it here this morning, but it's not talking about just the saved, but it's to those who know that all things work together for good, that are not afraid to call upon God for patience. And who are the called, or not just that, but who love God, to them who are the called, and that we know that God has a purpose for our lives. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he's obviously after a work that he wants to do, and that is to make us to like the Lord Jesus Christ, just like him. On this side of eternity, by the way, you'll not read of these things that we read this morning concerning a future tense someday in the by and by when we see the Lord. He's wanting to do this work on this side of eternity. So he says this, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and that is in the continual tense, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So that's not just going to happen in heaven, it will happen there, but he's also doing that work in the continual tense every day in our lives. And then notice this here, two more verses. What shall we then say to these things? That's a good question. What are you going to say about all this? What should we say? If God be for us, he says, who can be against us? You've got every open door in your life to God. Every door has been opened because God is for us. Why? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, that's the saved, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Let me ask you this, spiritually speaking. Oh, do you need patience? Really, do you need patience? Couldn't you be more? See, we're already afraid. Hey, do you need patience this morning? Okay, I'm getting some head nods there. Why? Do you need patience? Amen? Amen? We are only fearful of the unknown. When it comes to God, we're only fearful of the unknown. God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to have reverence for him in that regard of the word fear. But he does not want us. He's our Abba Father. And so when we consider this, I want you to see the difference here. So God is wanting to do a mighty work in the life of the believer. Have we come to that conclusion this morning? All right, let me show you the difference. Let's look at it. And we're not going to go there, but I just want to remind you of the life of Jacob. You remember Jacob? He had a brother named Esau. Do you remember that? And he was after the birthright, wasn't he? Esau sold his birthright for a pot of lentils. And then it came time for him to receive the blessing because he found out his dad Isaac was going to give away the blessing to whoever, well, to Esau, supposedly. And listen, Jacob went to great lengths, deceptively, to gain this birthright. Then he got in trouble with his brother Esau, and he had to leave home. You remember that? Do you think this is a happy occasion for Jacob? Is he really enjoying the Lord? And so he goes to Laban, and he meets who? What was the little girl there? Rachel? And who is the other one? Leah. So he makes this wonderful pact with his father-in-law, and he wakes or gets up the next morning only to find out he'd been fooled with Leah. You remember that? How things going for Jacob so far? And all these things went on with him, and then his father-in-law Laban cheated him 10 times out of the money. And God blessed him. He made a promise to the Lord. God calls him back home. And then he has his children. And then he has Joseph. And then what happens there with Joseph? Joseph says, I've got a dream that God has given to me. And his brothers, the Bible says, hated him. And so they conspire to sell him off. And then they tell the father, when they take the coat of many colors and they put it in the blood of the kid there, they give it back to the father and they say, is this your son's? And he said, yes, that's my son's. And he said, no doubt a beast has slain him. So I want you to think about this whole life of Jacob. And I want to remind you, when he gets all the way into Egypt, listen, when he gets all the way into Egypt and he talks to Pharaoh, do you know what he says about his life? Basically, few years and very miserable. He was over 100. He was about 140 or so years old. He's miserable. Did you remember that? When he talks to Pharaoh, he says, my life has been hard, and it's been a trial. It's been, okay, now let's back up here a little bit. Ready? It comes to the point where Israel, Jacob, is in Egypt for 17 years before he dies. He calls his sons in there, and he calls Joseph in there, and he has Manasseh and Ephraim there. And Jacob, the Bible says, wittingly put his right hand on the younger one. He was going to give him the blessing. And Joseph said, oh, not so. You've got your hand on the younger one. You need to put him on the older one. And he said, no. He says, I know what I'm doing. And then all of a sudden, God starts speaking to him. I believe Joseph enjoyed, like he never had before, the last 17 years of his life there with Joseph, and he got to see his grandchildren. Isn't that good? He was praising God. Remember his heart? It was when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent for him to bring him into Egypt. And by the way, Pharaoh at that time, during the time of Joseph, was a good Pharaoh, and he did put him in the land of Goshen, the best of the land. And they began to multiply. Didn't God bless them? And all kinds of good things. And then at the very end of his life, he called all his children, all his sons in there, and he began to prophesy through the word of God of what they were going to be like. And he talked about Judah being the lineage of the promise of the Messiah that he was going to come through. So Joseph really enjoyed. Why? Because he trusted the will of God. He saw it differently. Now let's back up to Joseph very quickly. Joseph, Jacob's son, experienced that from the very beginning. He was willing to, these are the afflictions of Christ. God, I'm going to allow you to do this for my good. I don't want to react to these things. I am looking to you to help me to see them as you taking off the rough edges out of my life and me trusting you and not what I am experiencing or what I am seeing. I am not going to listen. I am not going to let my brothers ruin the joy of the Lord. Because not only did he get one dream, he got another one, and the Bible says that his brothers couldn't even speak peaceably unto him. If they spoke, they were going to give Joseph what for? And Joseph knew it. Then he was sent out on a journey to go make sure that his brothers were okay from the father, who also knew that the sons were not really care for Joseph, but Joseph went anyway. And then he gets thrown into the pit. And then he gets sold to the Ishmaelites, which brought him over to Potiphar's wife, or Potiphar's house. Sold as a slave. Did he prosper there? Did he prosper there? Here's the question. Why? The Bible says something about it. Because the Lord was with him. Do you know the Lord wants to be with us as well? Just like he was with Joseph and just like he was with Paul. But you have to see the afflictions of Christ. Did Christ suffer afflictions during his earthly ministry? Was he tried and accused wrongfully? He trusted his heavenly Father. He trusted the plan of God. He's our example, is he not? Everything, didn't we just read that there in the book of Romans? And we have to ask God to bring us to that place to where we can rest that everything God allows in your life and mine comes from his hands. even the afflictions. The truth is, listen, there is no glory without the cross. You must go by the way of the cross. Don't we sing a hymn that way? The way of the cross leads home. On this side of eternity. See, we think the way of the cross leads home in heaven. No, the way of the cross leads home to our Heavenly Father and to our Savior. On this side, that gives us a song in our hearts that the world says, man, oh man, no matter what you do, they don't stop with the love of God. The joy is still there. The world would love to rob us of our joy. Didn't Brother Terry preach a message on that, the joy robbers? Where does the joy come from in the life of the believer? From what happens to us? That's happiness. Joy, real joy comes from God through our salvation. So here's the challenge this morning as you look at the life of Joseph. Look at the life of Joseph. He's in Potiphar's house. God was with him. His wife accuses him of something that never happened, and he's put into prison. And guess what? God was with him there also. What does that mean? That God was with him. The joy of the Lord. He flourished in an unflourishable condition. He was the light of God where there should have been no light in his life. God wants you and I to be lights in the world where there cannot and should not be lights, but his grace brings the light in our lives. Where we can be at home and know, listen, God will bring us to the place to where we can know that truly I can have his joy and his peace in the middle of a trial if I will see that everything he brings into my life is coming from his hands and that he is wanting to bring me nearer to himself. We don't like to think that. We like to sometimes think that well, this shouldn't be. If I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means I ought to have a big bank account and I'd have everything I need and everything go my way. You'll not find that in the Word of God. Now, will God bless? Absolutely. And he will give us something more than this world will ever give us, and that will be his life that has greater value, that has a peace that passes understanding and joy. Those things are not given to us just for the rough times. God wants us to walk in that. And when the trial begins, to have peace, knowing that God is bringing this into my life, that I might be drawn closer to my God by his grace. Lord, help me to know that I'm in your hands. And help me to truly believe that you work out not most things, but all things together for good to me as your child and to you. So this is what it means when God says Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not because of what happens or what doesn't happen in our life. It's because of Christ himself becomes our peace and our life. And that is the light of the world, not us. Not us doing something for God. But listen, you don't have to wait for some big event or some so-called big opportunity for God. It's every day, in the everyday little things. And I'll just tell you where it begins. And I'm not, listen, this is the truth. I'll tell you, I'm just scratching at the surface. And please don't think like I've got this mastered. And I'll tell you where it needs to happen. Not when you're in church. I mean, please bring it in church. Please walk in the Lord in church. But it needs to happen at home. The love of God needs to be the love, not our love, God's love in us. For his glory needs to be at home. God, bring that to pass in my life. So those are the afflictions of Christ. When things don't go our way, listen, the afflictions of Christ in your life and mine are to allow Christ to come forward and not ourselves. Do you hear that? Listen, the afflictions of Christ are necessary or God wouldn't have written about them. We don't, listen, it's not natural for us to say, man, Brother George, you might be thinking, I thought you were going to give me something exciting. I don't know about these afflictions of Christ. That's where the excitement comes from. Seeing God work. Seeing the light of God in our own family first. The patience, the fruit of the Spirit. Why do I say that at home is so important? Because that's where we let go, isn't it? That's where we, and listen, the love of God ought to be there all the time. And when you've been mistreated at home, I know that probably has never happened to you, but if you've been mistreated, or may you, with the grace of God and the peace of God, display Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you have to walk, upright before the Lord, and that means just expecting that. God, I'm giving my life to you, to experiencing you in my life, every area of it, at home, that I might be gentle and kind because of you in me, not me. That you might give me that my family needs. And let God do the work. Listen, you know what our nature is? For us to voice our opinions and to get people to do and believe the right thing. We can't do that. Can we? We can't even do it for ourselves. Don't answer this question. How many times have you caught yourself not in the spirit of Christ? Doing something, saying something, acting like a heathen, as Brother Terry would say, and say, oh my goodness. See, that's where we want to see Christ, to where he's in us all the time and where he is preeminent in our lives. And then we'll see Christ. Listen, that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It becomes a witness and a testimony to our family and to the whole world of the reality and the difference that God has made in our lives. This idea, this notion, listen, is shortchanging God. Well, I know Christ by the grace of God, and bless God, it doesn't matter what I do and what I say. Oh, yes, it does. Not by our strength, but by his. Because what it reveals is an unactive life with Christ. Christ not in us, the hope of glory. You may have eternal life, but nobody's seeing it. And surely not our Savior. God wants to see his life, not ours, in our life. That's why he died. Begins with eternal life. But then that we might walk every day by the life of Christ and his grace. Do you see the difference? That's where we grow. And God wants us to understand. And once we understand, now we know what to ask him for. That I might trust you in your afflictions. So when I see these afflictions, I'm not just looking at a person giving me a bad time. I'm looking at God doing a work in my life, and I want to yield to that. And it will give you a different perspective altogether, and it will bring glory to God and worship in our hearts and minds. Would you stand, please? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, an opportunity to say, God, yes, have your way, Lord, in my life. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your people here this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts and minds, that we might understand your work that you want to do in our life, the life-changing grace and power that you've given to us through salvation. Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.